Blog Talk Radio.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
That's why I haven't muted.
You're an idiot.
Hey.
Hey,
whoever that is, please call back. Somehow my phone was muted. I believe that was Saint. But I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why things happen. Technology is not my friend. God, that would have been good too, because I was just getting into something. We're just finishing up. So, caller, please call back. I don't know why my phone was being retarded, but that's what it does. That's how we roll. Anyway, we were talking about something about the Patriots.
Can we talk about something else?
Absolutely. Wallace has breaking news for us.
It's not breaking news. It's a couple hours old, but I just found it's from Adam Schefter. Apparently, Adam Schefter was having a conversation with a 55-year-old Jerry Rice.
Excellent. And?
Adam Schefter asked him, he goes, "You could play today, right?" And Jerry said, you know, he was joking around with John Gruden. He said, "John, look, I still got about 80 catches in me." Jerry Rice told John Gruden he has 80 catches left in him.
80 catches? Are you for real?
What about it gets better? Apparently John Gruden's like, "Don't joke with me because I'll sign you and you'll be right back on the team." Apparently, I don't know how serious this conversation was. Adam Schefter asked him. He said, "So what if John said to you, Jerry, I want to sign you. Come camp this summer." Jerry Rice says, "I would get a football field in a heartbeat." This is from Adam Schefter.
Wow. Speaking of comebacks, we got our caller back. Let's see. Let's see if this works this time. Hey, how you doing? You're on the air with Spit Down College Football Show. Who am I talking to?
Hey, it's Mr. Saint. How's it going, fellas?
Oh, what's going on, Saint? Well, I'm glad to hear your voice. I was worried about your health on Sunday.
I'm still alive.
So as a Vikings fan, can you answer my question?
I didn't hear it. What was the question?
Do you prefer it to be 6:22 or 38-7?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
When you're looking at the clock, do you prefer 6:22 or 38-7?
Oh God. I don't know if I could answer that for a few months.
What do you got for us on the game?
I mean, it's pretty clear cut, you know. I think my personal opinion is they came in, they underestimated Foles. They clearly were lackadaisical on defense. They didn't tackle. They let too many plays go for deep. Too many broken plays. Offensively, after the first drive, they couldn't get anything going. They were Keenan was pressured. Just nothing was going right.
I don't know if you heard the opening, but that first drive, everything went right.
Yeah, I mean, if like, they had stayed that course.
And then all of a sudden, it was like Case Keenum became Case Keenum.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of pressure on him, and, you know.
Yeah, there was not much to go on in that game. And I thought, I don't know if it looked like this to you, but I thought they kind of abandoned the running game. But after that first, they had that first drive where Case Keenum was throwing the ball really well, and I think they looked at that and said, I think we need to throw the ball to win this game instead of doing what they normally do, and that's run first, then pass. Was that how you perceived it as a Vikings fan? Because that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. It was very uncharacteristic. I think that they had a nice little game plan to start the game. I think maybe when Keenum threw the interception, I think they kind of everything started to go south, and they threw their hands up, and it just seemed like everything that they were doing was backfiring on them. And then at that point, you know, they're behind by a lot and can't really run the ball.
And your guy, yeah, I'm so mad that your special teams over there in Minnesota decided they wanted to block for a change. Of course, when I bet that they're gonna get a kick blocked, of course, then they must have played our show in the locker room and said, hey, special teams, you're on notice.
Yeah, it's a weird game. It's one of those games where, you know, even though they were getting pummeled, it seemed like one aspect of the game they were actually doing pretty decent in, and that was special teams.
Yeah, they finally played well on special teams. They just didn't play well anywhere else.
Yeah. Oh man, it was brutal.
As a Vikings, we talked about this earlier, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week. But did this game change your perspective of what your team should do with Case Keenum and with the quarterback situation?
You know, actually, I've been doing a little bit of thinking about that the last few days, and I've been kind of broadening my scope on thinking, and I might be kind of in the minority on this, but I'm almost wondering if they go and get a Kirk Cousins or a Drew Brees. I don't know. Maybe that's too crazy to think.
You might get Cousins. Brees isn't leaving New Orleans. Brees has already said he'll be in New Orleans as long as they'll have him, and I don't see New Orleans moving on.
Yeah. But no, I think you're on to something there. If you're if you're thinking about totally moving on from a quarterback, I don't see that as crazy. I see that as being a smart move. If you're going to try to win now, why not go out and get a Kirk Cousins or a Alex Smith or, you know, maybe Eli, if he's available, maybe
yeah.
you can bring Eli in there. The only thing I would say is in that division, you need a strong-armed quarterback. So Kirk Cousins makes sense. I don't know about Alex Smith. I don't think you can dink and dunk in what they used to call, you know, the NFC Norris division. I mean, in Chicago, you need an arm to play. You need to win in Green Bay. So you're going to have to play in inclement weather, and you're going to have to move the football. So if you can't get Cousins, I don't know how many power arms there are in the free agent market right now.
There's some power arms. Ryan Tannehill could be available. He's a power arm. You just don't know where the fuck it's going to go. Jay Cutler could be available. Like, there's arms out there. You didn't say quality arms.
I said power arm. I didn't say quality. But no, Saint, I think you're on to something. If they decide to make a move to go right now, I think going after a veteran guy would be in their best interest. And that's an interesting thing to watch as we move forward here.
Yeah, and I'm not too worried about the regular season. I'm hoping that, you know, they get into the playoffs because they have a good enough team to fight to get to the playoffs. I just, you know, I want a quarterback that can single-handedly put it on his shoulders at the end of the game, you know, like a Tom Brady type. I think that's what we're lacking.
I have to caution you then. Kirk Cousins is not your guy. If you want big play at the end of a game, Kirk Cousins is not the guy you want in that position. I think he's like I think he's like 1-8 or something in, you know, fourth quarter drive when the drive comes down to the offense winning the game. I think he's only done it once. So he's not exactly a guy you would call a winner, but then again, he was in Washington. So it's, you know, how much of that is the quarterback, how much of that is the team, how much of that is Jay Gruden is an absolute I'll say he's an absolute idiot when it comes to calling his offense because he doesn't know what he's doing. He does not know what he's doing with the Washington Redskins offense. But that's just a Cowboy fan taking a shot at Kirk Cousins because I can and I want to. But Saint, so as a team that lost in the NFC Championship game, do you go into the Super Bowl hoping that the Eagles lose to like kind of get some kind of revenge, like aha, we weren't that bad, or do you want to see the Eagles win so that you could say, well, at least we lost to the champ?
Nobody wants the Patriots to win.
I'm on both sides of it. I want to see somebody beat the Patriots. And, you know, my best buddy is actually an Eagles fan, so I'm kind of rooting for him. But I'm about revenge. You know, it's you gotta move on. You got to worry about your team. You know, they got to do what they can to get better for next year. You can't really blame the Eagles. You know, they came in and dominated. So I'm not really out for revenge. I just want to see a good game and give it to the Patriots.
Yeah, so, and I think that's a typical – I think it's just like Walrus said, nobody wants the Patriots to win. And if you're not a Patriot fan and you live in New England, I think everybody who's not a Patriot fan, nobody is like, oh, well, I want the Patriots to win. Like, if you're not a Patriot fan, everybody's like, I don't want to see them win again. No one roots for them outside of Patriot fans.
Yeah,
you guys find
that's a pretty good assumption.
It's just my theory, because I've been in New England my whole life, and you know, I went to school in Massachusetts, and everybody who was a Patriot fan was all right. Yeah, then I went in 2001 when the Patriots started this whole thing, and even then everybody was like, I don't want to see the Patriots win. And I was like, really? Like, we're from New England. Just because you like a different team, but it seems to be a New England thing. Like, if you don't like the Patriots, you don't want them to win either.
Yeah, I think, you know, year after year, we just get tired of seeing them. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you're good enough. You won a couple. And, you know, you just, as a Super Bowl, it's one game. It's everybody looks forward to it. And to see the same team in there year after year, it's like, okay, you know, this is getting kind of old.
Got anything, Walrus?
I've said my piece. Although, Walrus is doing a great deal of research today. I'm doing.
That's why Walrus is quiet. He's doing research over here.
Listen, we have small budget over here. I am staffed in information.
He's trying to do more research. Hey, Saint, I don't know if you heard, because I know you were on hold there. You got to get to the Vikings. You got to get to the Vikings front office. You got to tell them draft Iowa.
They had Chad Greenway forever. Great. Iowa linebacker. You need more Iowa players.
That's the key to success. We figured it out. All right. So
more Iowa.
Next week we're gonna have prop bets. Are you gonna man up and go and wager with the Walrus on some prop bets on the Super Bowl? I don't care about the game. I care about
ridiculous
prop bets.
What do you got?
I will let you know next week.
We'll have them next week.
They're not out yet.
We'll have something out. I'm sure there'll be good ones. And we'll get a list of them, and we'll give them to you. But we want you to call back next week and wager with the Walrus. And we'll figure something out.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in, and enjoy the Super Bowl. Even though your team is not in it, at least your field will be in. At least your stadium will be involved.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble this Sunday.
Oh yeah. Who you got in the who do you think is gonna win the Rumble?
Bold pick, not really a bold pick, but Nakamura.
That's not a bad pick. It's not a bad pick going with a SmackDown guy.
All right, so I'm gonna
I think I think it's gonna be a SmackDown guy, and I think Nakamura is not a bad choice. It's either gonna be that or Roman Reigns. Those are the two. The only options are a SmackDown guy or Roman Reigns. Those are the only options we got going on. But it should be a fun Rumble. It should be a good Rumble. Who you got in the Women's Rumble? First ever.
Oh wow, that's a tough one.
I'm taking Trish.
You know they're gonna have.
No.
I want to know how they're going to fill this with 30 women. I mean, is Mae Young coming out? Like, who? How did he get 30?
Oh,
man. What?
Can't say I have.
I imagine it's a tremendous.
Well, who you got, Saint?
That's a tough one, man. I think they got to give Nia Jax a chance. They got to get her in there.
I don't think they're gonna go with Nia because it's such an obvious choice, and you know they never go with the obvious choice. If I were a betting man, I would go with Asuka.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if her being in the Rumble, if she lost, if that would really count. Because she's never lost anything she's ever been in, so.
Well, maybe she should wager with the Walrus.
She should try. But yeah. We got the Rumble on, so we got the Rumble this Sunday, and then we got the Super Bowl next week. But Saint, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna start some NFL draft talk.
Not quite yet. We're here in a minute.
Definitely call us next week. We'll have some prop bets that you can wager with the Walrus, and we'll figure something out. All right.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Always a pleasure, guys.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Take care.
Over here, I was on my stats and research again.
Stats and research.
I am stats and research.
There it is. He's got sources. He's been doing this 30 years.
30 days. Now, I don't think anybody would deny the greatness of Nick Saban.
Nope.
I don't think anybody would deny the greatness of Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Safe to say, both of these men have won a lot of championships.
And both were on the Cleveland Browns staff?
No, that's obvious. Have both men won a lot of championships?
Yes, they have.
They have never won a title in the same season in the last decade. Since 2009, they have never won a championship in the same season.
Really?
They have not. And Nick Saban already won one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nick Saban won in 2009. Neither won in 2010. Saban in 11. Saban in 12. Nobody in 13. Belichick in 14. Saban in 15, Belichick in 16, Saban in 17.
Interesting. So Nick Saban in Alabama may have already cursed the Patriots. So we got the curse of Nick Saban out there.
So what's gonna win out? The curse of Nick Saban or Patriots having Iowa Hawkeye?
I don't know. I think Iowa's a much stronger play.
Love Iowa.
All right. Speaking of Iowa football, let's move on. We got a big thing going. We got a big move going on here, and it's a big week for draft junkies like myself.
You're a junkie.
I am an absolute junkie.
Or would you consider yourself an aficionado?
I'm a junkie. I'm an absolute junkie.
You're certainly not classy enough.
I am certainly not classy enough, sir. I am a total draft junkie. I love every minute of the draft. I love every minute of the draft process. And the draft process has begun.
Last night alone, you literally watched 47 hours of game film.
Yesterday, I spent a two-hour lunch break watching, sitting in the bar, watching the NFL Network, watching the Senior Bowl practices on the TV in the bar. And then I came home and watched the same thing that we're watching in the studio right now, which is Senior Bowl practice recap.
I literally watched 47 hours.
So I did watch a lot of practice football yesterday. But that's the thing I want to get into. The Senior Bowl is a great event, but the game does not matter. I want to say that the game is just kind of a like, hey, here's the guys. Let's sell tickets so that they can actually play. If you want to get to know these guys, it's important to watch the everyday practice and watch the one-on-one competitions. And there are some really good players in this Senior Bowl. I've watched the Senior Bowl the last probably 4 years intently, and this is probably one of the best rosters that I've seen as far as guys on the field and guys who are going to have an impact in April's draft. And not a lot of these guys are first-rounders. There's probably a handful of them. But a lot of these guys are going to make or break their second or third round status this week, and watching them. And I just want to go through some of the guys that are playing in this game. And
before we do that, let's
first break down the teams. All right.
But before we break down the teams, I want to talk about simple geography.
No, that's where I was headed. I was gonna say, I just wanted to set up because maybe some people don't know that the Senior Bowl gets broken up by the North team, the South team. So if your school is located in the North, you play for the North team. If your team is South, you play for the South. Unless, of course, you go to the University of Miami.
Florida, not Ohio.
somehow, the Miami Hurricanes are playing with the North squad. Someone's going to have to explain that one to me. And it's actually a good segue because that's one of the guys I really want to look at this week is Braxton Berrios. Obviously, we watched a lot of him in the college season. We watched a lot of Braxton Berrios because we were following Miami.
I watched a lot of Braxton Berrios.
But I'm interested to see how he's going to break out this week, how he's going to handle the guys going up against this kind of competition, and whether or not he can be I think if he gets into the NFL, I think he's more of a Cole Beasley type, where he can be a slot receiver and still lead your team in catches. I think that highly of him, and I could easily see him as a late second, early third round pick that has a huge impact on a team. Okay. But what do you think about that with Braxton Berrios? Do you think that's on point, or do you think that's too high, too low?
Third round.
I think if he has a good week, he could be easily a late second.
You know who I think is gonna raise the ceiling for Braxton Berrios, and I see him do a lot of the same things. I think who's gonna raise the ceiling for him is gonna be Adam Thielen. Similar style of play.
That's a good comparison. I went with my guy Cole Beasley, but Adam Thielen is a good comparison.
But Berrios doesn't have plating day hair.
Not yet. So that's one guy that I'm looking at. But I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the North roster. North roster, we got just the quarterback position. Baker Mayfield, Luke Falk, Josh Allen. Right there, you've got three guys that are going top 50. That are at least top 50 in the draft.
Can I point someone out here? We're talking draft talk right now.
Go ahead.
He's either rated the fifth best quarterback in the draft, and I think he has the potential to be the best quarterback in the draft. And if a team does the appropriate scouting, he could sneak into the first round.
Who are we talking about here?
You know who I'm talking about. He's a quarterback for the mullet.
He's on there. He's on there also.
Yeah, he's listed as people's fifth best quarterback.
Yeah, but that's about right. For Mason Rudolph, that's about right.
No, he could potentially.
I mean, I would put him fourth. I would put him above Josh Allen.
I'd put him above Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I would put him above Baker Mayfield too. But
so, so now we have him at third. So big difference between third best quarterback in the draft is almost a guaranteed first round pick.
Yeah, it's a definite guaranteed first-round pick. Mason Rudolph, you know where they're going with it. They're putting Baker Mayfield in based on the season. Everybody had Josh Allen as this amazing guy last year. I don't understand why Josh Allen didn't get hurt by having a bad – he had a bad season. In Wyoming.
He's a bad player.
Right. But what I'm saying is his bad season didn't hurt him. Sam Darnold had a bad season.
Sam Darnold wasn't producing turnovers.
Josh Allen only played against Iowa and got absolutely stomped.
Yes, it's Iowa.
Got absolutely stomped. And everybody was like, oh, well, he has no players. Who cares?
He doesn't have players.
I don't.
And he didn't lead FBS in turnovers.
Okay.
Listen, I know you're a Cowboy fan. You watch Tony Romo forever. You love turnovers. But
I do. I do love turnovers, though. Cherry turnovers are good.
Congratulations.
We're not
Romo finally made it to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, how about that? He finally made it to the championship game.
He did.
Finally made it to a championship game. Good for Tony.
And he could no longer talk. Do you see him try to...
he couldn't figure it out.
Tony Romo was reduced to grunting. He had no idea what to do.
All right. So, anyway. So, that's just the quarterback. I mean, quarterbacks in the Senior Bowl. I'm so interested in the North Side quarterbacks. I mean, Mayfield, Falk. They got... Josh Allen, Tanner Lee from Nebraska. He's a guy you want to see. I want to see how he can do it. We got the kid from Richmond. Yeah, the kid from Richmond. This kid, Kyle Luletta. I'm excited to see him as well, because a lot of these guys, these are the guys that you want. The guys from the big name schools, they're not going to, you know, we've already seen them. We know what they can do. These guys from the lesser known schools, and I'm interested to see Brandon Silvers again, quarterback from Troy. Last time I saw him was when he was tearing up LSU. So you'll get a good view of these guys. But it's not, I don't care what they do in the game. In the game, I don't care. I don't care if they throw, if they go 0-10 in the game. The game does not matter. What matters is the practices that I just spent an hour watching them. But I love watching the practice. One, as a former coach and a prospective coach, I love watching the drills. I love watching what the guys do. How they coach up the other guys, and you not only get to see the guys getting coached, but you get to see them do the next rep, and you can see, did this guy take the coaching to heart? Did he actually try to do what the other coach tells him to do? And that's kind of important, especially if you're drafting a guy high. You want a guy who can accept coaching, and be molded. You don't want a guy who's just going to come in and do his own thing. So a couple other guys. Well, we got a couple Iowa guys in the game. I was just going to get to that. Running backs for the North. We got Akrim Wadley. He was a stud player for Iowa. Had that winning touchdown against Iowa State. So, we got him, and they got an offensive guard, Sam Welch. I'm surprised there aren't that many more. I'm surprised there aren't any defensive players from Iowa in this game.
What do you put the whole Iowa team
out there. Come on. We need to know who these guys from Iowa are so we can draft them. You need to draft Iowa. That's what you need to do.
You know what I want to admit in my mind? I want a new college all-star game.
I want Iowa
versus the world.
Iowa versus the world.
I want you to assemble the best team of college prospects you can and go face Iowa. Iowa to barnstorm the country. That's what I want.
So I'm just looking over the roster. And then again, I mean, this is why this game, there's a lot of guys. I said I'm looking at Berrios. I'm looking at Penn State wide receiver Deshaun Hamilton. Another guy who
–
That's an interesting. I was gonna get them when we move to the defense. That's an interesting part for him to be in this game, because he wasn't even a starter at Alabama. He was a rotation guy. He was supposed to be one of the top recruits, and he ends up being just a rotational guy. So he's going to be
in the world of Bill Parcells. He was just a guy.
He was just a guy. He was not. He's not. Not the guy.
If we have any listeners who out here don't know Bill Parcells, there's absolutely nothing worse you could be
than just a guy.
Just a guy.
You don't want to be just a guy. You want to be. You want to be better than just a guy. But anyway, also James Washington's gonna play in this game. Wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Right there's your number one wide receiver. I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft.
No.
I totally believe James Washington's the best wide receiver. Or who do you got as the best wide receiver? Calvin Ridley? He's like 90 years old. Somehow he's been in college for the last 10 years. I'm well aware of this. I know that this has happened. I think it's close between the two, between those two. I just think James Washington has better ball. I think he can go up and get the ball better than Mr. Ridley. Another interesting position to look at will be tight end. I know I'm focusing on the north side, but the north side seems to have more of the guys that you want to look at. You got Troy Fumagalli, could be the number one tight end taken. You got Mike Gesicki, could be the number one tight end. Or he's not playing in this game, but he's going to be taken. You know, the other guy is Goddard from South Dakota. He's a guy that could be. Those are your top three tight ends, and two of them are in this game.
No, I'm going to tell you who the best tight end is next year going to play his first game. Nobody you just mentioned.
Okay.
Jake Butt.
Yeah, but he's not in the draft, so it doesn't make a difference. I'm talking draft. I'm talking about in the draft.
Listen, there's never a bad time to talk about Butt. All right.
Never a bad time.
We can always talk about Butt and Cougar.
Welcome to our show, ladies and gentlemen, where we talk football and somehow we always work Cooter, Dingus, or Butt into the conversation. At some point, you're bound to have it happen.
Listen, Butt fills the need, all right?
Hey.
Butt fills the need.
I believe they said that during draft coverage last year. I believe that was a Mel Kiper statement.
That was a Walrus statement. me and our buddy Gino, we were at the bar. There's a surprise. Me and Gino.
You and Gino walking into a bar. It sounds like a joke.
Our life is a joke.
Yes.
We sat at the bar and we yelled and we got moved from our seat until Jay Butt was taken, and we did nothing but tell everyone in that bar that Butt filled the need.
Absolutely outstanding.
It was tremendous work.
Speaking of the draft this year, Walrus had a great idea, and we're going to definitely roll with it. I don't even know when the draft is. So,
It's on a Thursday night.
That week, we are going to skip the Wednesday night show, and we are going to go live during the draft, and we will bring you the entire first round. So if you don't want to listen to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, listen to them jibber jabber, and listen to I'm guessing they're probably gonna have Trey Wingo do it. I mean, it used to be Berman going.
Kiper has some of the best hair in the business. Him and Jimmy Johnson, their hair hasn't moved in 30 years.
So draft coverage, we'll be bringing you live draft coverage whenever the draft is. I think it's in March.
Isn't it day one? No, it's April.
Is it? I thought they moved it up.
I think they moved it by March.
I thought they moved it up, but I'm not sure. We'll check on it. Whenever the draft is, we won't have a show that Wednesday, and we'll go Thursday live draft coverage. And
Thursday, April 26th.
Okay. I think I was thinking they're talking about moving it to May because they want to dominate every month. And I think
April 26th.
Now, do we just want to do first round coverage, or do we want to do first 2 days coverage?
Well, that's going to depend on my work schedule. So.
No. This is your priority.
Yeah. Getting money to actually run this thing is my priority.
I'm going to do coverage on my own then.
So,
you're not willing.
If I have to work, I'll call in. I'll do it from the kitchen. Oh, who got drafted? Oh, I love this guy. Hold on, I gotta make a quesadilla.
I would let you make a quesadilla.
But anyway, I was telling Walrus before we went on air that there was another interesting part to the Senior Bowl, and that is the Citadel is involved. We know how much Walrus loves the Citadel. So, because my man Miles Pierce is in there, he's gonna try to get drafted by somebody. And that, and if Walrus has his way, he will not even be an afterthought. So what do you think, Walrus? What do you think about the Citadel football? Come on, don't hold back, Walrus.
Trash. Completely unadulterated trash. Nobody cares about the Citadel. Why are you making me discuss the Citadel? It makes me so angry.
I love it. I love to make you angry with the Citadel. It's fantastic. You mean the Citadel football program? Because the Citadel's kind of important.
No.
It's kind of important to us. It creates Marines. You know this, right? It's kind of important to us.
Well, some of them should probably play football. And their football is just awful.
So, that's the ifs, ands, or buts of it. Speaking of buts, that's kind of what you're looking at in the Senior Bowl. What I always look for what they're doing in the drills, and you can see them when they do one on ones. It's awesome. When they got one-on-one, lineman against lineman, it's great to watch. That's where you get most of your draft, or that's where I get most of my draft analysis from. I'll watch them do the one-on-ones, and I'll say, wow, that guy was really good. Let me go back and check some of the tape and see if I missed something, or see if the tape matches how good the guy was. And that's how I go about getting ready for the draft. And another couple guys to look at, I talked about this guy early in the season, Michael Gallup, wide receiver from Colorado State. He's a guy you're going to want to take a look at. I think he can earn himself a high second-round grade if he does really well this week, and he did really well today in the one-on-one drills. So he's a guy you could be looking at. I talked about the North a lot. I want to talk – the South is basically you're looking at defense on the South. Not really looking at much. Much of the offensive guys are not there. The only really interesting guy on the South roster is Traquan. Traquan Smith, wide receiver from Central Florida. I'm interested in seeing him. And, you know who else is there from Central Florida? And I'm sure they're going to have a big package on this guy. Shaquem.
Listen.
Shaquem Griffin.
Can you do me one favor? As long as you're doing the rest of this show.
What?
Don't ever end the Walrus meme.
Ever.
Ever. Tell me about the package they have on a guy. I don't care about Shaquem's package.
What, you don't care? You don't care about it, even if it comes with only one hand?
Please don't ever discuss another man's package.
Go on, you gotta broaden it up, man.
No.
All right, let's find some more guys on here. I mean, Rashad Penny is another guy you want to look at, running back from San Diego State. But otherwise, it's like you said, Deshaun Hand is an interesting guy to look at because we don't have much tape of him. The linebackers, I'm looking at Marquise Haynes from Ole Miss. As I said, Shaquem Griffin. It'll be interesting to see how he lines up because he usually lined up as a defensive end. He's going to be asked to play outside linebacker in the NFL, so he's got to learn a totally new position. So that'll be interesting. Levi Wallace, defensive back from Alabama. Talking about the South. What do you got?
I want to talk about Rashad Penny.
That's I just mentioned Rashad Penny.
I like him. I like him a lot. Apparently the Lions are big on him, too. The Lions are looking to acquire some running backs. They're liking him. You know, even though Watson, you know I love him. Iowa.
I'm looking at Trey Williams from Auburn. I'm looking a lot at the linebacker core, especially in the South. The South linebackers, Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson. I like what the South has done on defense. I don't like their offense at all.
There's another back I want to talk about.
Which one?
I'm going to butcher his name. Kalen Ballage, running back from Arizona State.
Ah, yes.
I'm looking at his tangibles here. He's 6'3", 230. That's a big
back. That's a big dude. That's a big back.
Never managed 1,000 yards rushing, but he scored 27 touchdowns. You suppose it's phenomenal hands. He has over 80 catches.
Wow.
He has a 37-inch vertical and a 9'11" 3/4" long jump.
Well, that's another interesting. This is what happens when you look at the Senior Bowl. You find these kind of guys that you're like, who is this guy? And then
he's 360 and can squat over 500 pounds.
Yeah,
that is a big, powerful young man.
That is a beast. That is a beastly scenario right there.
That is a big, powerful young man.
And you said he plays for Arizona, right?
Arizona State.
He plays for Arizona State. Hold on a second.
He should play for Iowa.
He should have played for Iowa, huh? I have to check this out there. Because
you know, I might actually have been able to make myself a Tom Brady fan if he had gone to Iowa.
Kellen Blage is one of those guys who falls into the why are they on this team. I'm pretty sure Arizona is to the South. Pretty sure they're in the South, yet they play for the North. Go figure. I mean, this is what happens when you decide to go North and South, and all of a sudden you got guys going in there. Anybody else you're interested in seeing besides Miles Pierce?
I'm not interested in seeing Miles Pierce.
You want to see the package on Miles. You want to see the package they put together on Miles Smith. Come on. Miles Pierce, come on. Like I said, the East is pretty much I want to see a lot of the East offense. Jalen Samuels, running back from North Carolina State. He is another guy that I would be interested in seeing how he can play when lined up. I'm looking at the offensive linemen. There's not really that many offensive linemen that I think are going to be the stud guys picked. Trying to look at – I mean, you got a Division II guy on the west side. You got a couple FCS guys. So the offensive line is not really something that you look at and say these guys are going to go be top picks, but you know offensive linemen are going to be needed.
Are you talking about the big hog mollies?
I'm talking about hog mollies.
I love hog mollies.
But another guy I'm interested to see is Harrison Phillips, defensive tackle from Stanford. This guy led Stanford in tackles. Led the team in tackles. He played defensive tackle. And he led the team in stops. Like, what? Who does that? So that guy's obviously a beast. I'm wondering why they don't have – they've got Washington State guys on here, but I don't – I was hoping we would get to see Hercules.
And Hercules, the referee?
Hercules. The Washington State has a defensive tackle. A guy who played defense, I think he was like 250 pounds. And he played defensive tackle. So it was an interesting cat to see how he played along there. But anything else you got on the Senior Bowl? I like the Senior Bowl. I actually like the college, I guess the only way to say is like Pro Bowl games. I don't know. These kind of games are, I like this one, and then I think it's the week after the Super Bowl you get the East-West Shrine game, which is probably the more notable of the two. And that's always an interesting game to watch. But again, you have to watch it the same way. The game is not what's the most important. What's most important is watching the practices. And I'm glad the NFL Network is there to show us what goes on and break down some of the drills and things. And it gives us a chance to look at. And that's why I actually like and I actually do like the NFL Network's coverage. I like Mike Mayock. I think he does a great job of the draft. But not only does he do a good job with his draft talk, he does college games, like, in the booth as an analyst, not Todd McShay being the sideline reporter. I know Todd McShay does that for ESPN. But being the analyst, Mayock actually goes in and sits down with these kids, and you can hear it in Mayock's delivery about when he knows these kids on a different level. So, hey, look at this! Look who's on the cover! Look who they got on the cover, right there on the right.
There it is.
See, even on the webpage, even on the Senior Bowl webpage, they know they have to rep the Iowa Hawkeyes. They know that's why they put them up there. So that's the Senior Bowl. Are you interested any at all in the? Do you even know that the Pro Bowl is going on Sunday? I don't even know who's in it. I don't even, like, I know they picked a team, but they're, like, they're running ads now that say, like, pros against, like, rookies or something. Like, is that something that's going on? Like, where they're doing, like, first-year guys against, I thought it was just a Pro Bowl, but I saw a preview of some trying to get me interested, and I was like, it's the Pro Bowl. I'm not interested. Like,
I look forward to the skills competition.
I think the skills competition is awesome. I think we talked about this a little bit last week at the end of the show, so it's interesting to bring it up. I'm just going to bring up the roster right now, and we'll figure out what's going on. We'll go updated roster. How's that? Hey, how about that? Jared Goff made the Pro Bowl, huh? Does that make you want to watch that Jared Goff is going to play quarterback for Carson Wentz? Interesting. Jason Witten was added as a tight end. That's how Jason Witten had to make the Pro Bowl. Jason Witten shouldn't go. He's better than that. You're better than that, Jason Witten.
No, he's not.
You're better than that.
No, he's not. He wears stupid half arm sleeves.
Half arm sleeves. So that's why Walrus doesn't like him. If you wear half sleeves, you're not allowed in the Pro Bowl.
And he wears the bottom half. How can you wear the bottom half? I don't understand.
Fashion. This is the fashion portion of the Fit Down Football Show. All right. So let's just look at some of these rosters here. They don't even have quarterback listed. What's going on here? Who's playing quarterback? That's what we want to know. All right. So AFC's got Brady, Rivers, and Roethlisberger.
Well, Brady's obviously not.
Brady was. Let's see who has changed for Brady.
Pretty sure he's occupied.
I'm pretty sure he's got a different game plan. They shouldn't even vote Brady in. They should just say Brady's not playing. He's playing in the Super Bowl. It looks like they have only announced the NFC. They have not announced the AFC yet. Maybe that's tomorrow. Oh.
The game's in like 3 days. They've announced the team.
It says right here, up to date, and it says all of the up to date guys, and they're all NFC, not one AFC player. I'm guessing they haven't done that yet. They probably know, they just haven't. Either they haven't released it or they released it before. But I don't care. Again, who cares about this? I want to know who's going to be involved in the skills competition. That's kind of important. That's kind of the important part. Fletcher Cox is obviously not playing. He's obviously getting. How did DeMarcus Lawrence get voted to the Pro Bowl? That's what I want to know. Like, I don't understand how half these guys. They have a fullback. Somehow a fullback got voted to the Pro Bowl. I haven't seen a fullback on the field in probably about 10 years. I haven't seen a fullback play. Oh, here we go. Replacements. Let's find out. Let's find out who's going in for Tom Brady. Look at all these. The replacements list is longer than the actual players that are actually playing. That's how crazy it is.
Nobody wants to go to this card.
Orlando
now. Like, at least when it's in Hawaii, it's like they can take a free vacation and they might go. Nobody wants to go.
You got Derek Carr was in there. Delanie Walker was picked as a replacement. So apparently he's decided to go. But you're right. Nobody wants to go to this thing. It's awful. It's an awful idea.
And I'm pretty sure that MLK would give away tickets to this thing.
I'm pretty sure they can't. The only thing I would want, like you said, the only thing I want to see is the skills competition. And I said it last week. I love the drone drop. I think it's the funniest thing to watch these guys try to catch a ball from 300 feet in the air. And you want to see dodgeball.
I do.
You want to see Alex Smith throw the ball 5 yards in front of him.
Oh, no.
Bounce and spike it into the ground.
I want to see Matt Stafford with his cannon on.
I want to see any of these.
I want to see all hell break loose.
Oh, I would have loved to see Aaron Rodgers in it. Aaron Rodgers is probably a really awesome dodgeball player. He can throw on the run. He's got a cannon. Is Russell? I would say Russell Wilson.
Russell.
But anyway, that's really the only thing you got going on in pros this week is the Pro Bowl, and it's really not. I'm really not excited for it. I think the skills competition is tomorrow.
It is,
isn't it?
I was like, wait a minute, isn't it like Thursday before?
That's the only way I knew. I was like, wait, the Pro Bowl's on Sunday. But, yeah, so I think we're going to I think we're going to wrap it up because we've got next week, again, next week, Walrus, you're on the case. I want as many crazy prop bets as we can get.
Well, someone had better wager with the Walrus if I go through this.
We've already got Mr. Saint. He said he will call in, and we will force him to make a bet.
You know what? I'm going to talk to Mr. Saint, and I'm going to talk to some of my other constituents.
Oh, you going to talk to sources?
I got my
sources.
I'm going to see if I can't get somebody in the studio.
That's fantastic.
I don't know.
More the merrier. Anyway, but the challenge is for the audience out there to wager with the Walrus. We will, come up with something good. We'll come up with some good prop bets. We'll have stuff out there. I'm gonna try and get the post up early on Facebook. Some of you guys can come out there and actually comment on the Facebook post. If you can't call,
I got something better. I'm gonna throw this out there because we got plenty of time. I'm gonna give a little prize out. I'm a little prize. I'm in a giving mood.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. If somebody, anybody, can comment, call the show, message one of us, basically any way you can get in contact with us, the person who guesses closest without going over Price is Right rules, how many chicken wings the Walrus will eat during the Super Bowl, we'll get you a prize.
Ooh, good. All right. So it's out there, folks. How many wings?
Right. Rules. You cannot go over.
How many chicken wings will Walrus eat during the Super Bowl?
I'll stand it up because Walrus is a happy motherfucker. Not during the Super Bowl. On Super Bowl Sunday.
So the entire day.
Yes.
The entire day, Walrus is going to be feeding himself chicken wings.
Love chicken wings.
And
boneless and traditional.
Well, so it doesn't make a difference.
Why I want people to know that sometimes I assume the boneless.
We gotta make sure it's legal now. All chicken wings. Boneless, bone in. We're going all out. Alright, so there you have it, folks. And we will have other prop bets for you.
I'm sure we can come up with
some awesome ones. And I'm sure you can come up with some ideas for what you want to wager with the Walrus.
Oh, yeah, Walrus loves to wager.
We got hot sauce. Hot sauce. Walrus will try some hot sauce live on the air. Or we'll take video of him trying a different hot sauce. If you've got something like that, you know. Anything that involves food, we're usually pretty good with.
Food.
Anything that we could find, but you have to understand this. If you wager with the Walrus and you lose, you got to send us the video so we can play it live on the air.
And you will be mine.
Or you got to show up and do it right here at Studio 100 so that we can.
And you will be mocked on there. I love mocked.
Yes. You will be mocked until this is accomplished.
Because I'm not done mocking Trey because I didn't have to dress up like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. And we had one bet and it ended in a push.
Yes.
Figures. We make a bet and Laurie throws the Ray Willis the Ray Willis parlay to save his behind.
Thank you, Minnesota special teams. I thought Leonard Fournette was gonna save me.
I thought so too. I was more worried about Leonard Fournette than I was about the block punt. And obviously, Philadelphia had other things. They worked on other things other than the punt block. But we'll be ready for the Super Bowl. We'll get you all set up next week. Trying to think of what else. Definitely, guys. Definitely listen to all of the shows here on the KJC Network. We got Talk Therapy coming at you tomorrow at midnight. The ladies will be bringing you discussion.
Now, there's a show you can discuss, Dingus.
Yeah, there's a show there. We had a lot of Dingus discussion last week. Dingus discussion you don't I don't want to even repeat what kind of dingus discussion we had last week on that show.
Can you sum up the dingus discussion?
It ended with me having to admit things that I really don't want to participate in, but
Chris admitted to liking dingus.
I am forced to. There's complicated situation going on here, but I gotta see this here for a second. Tomorrow night they are discussing. The ladies are gonna discuss things that your parents have said that are absolutely crazy when you were a kid, but they've turned out to be pretty much true. So I know they're gonna be discussing that. Of course, the ladies will be talking about anything, any kind of questions you have about relationships. And if you want to call in and talk dingus, if you want to call in and be berated by a female and have her tell you that you are forced to give her a blowjob, then yes, you can have that on this show too.
Well,
this has happened before.
This is a
very interesting show. So that's tomorrow at midnight. Give them a listen.
I dare any of our listeners to call into that show and send those girls a picture of your dingus.
You dare our listeners to do this?
Yep.
Listeners,
don't send us your dingus.
don't send it over here. You send it to Talk Therapy. Do not send your dingus this way. We keep the dingus holstered. We're not dingus free. So there's that. And then Tuesday night right here on KJC is Stay Out of My Crease with Kim and Jimmy. They will give you all your hockey knowledge. And we'll be back next week.
And I was informed last week they will give you hockey knowledge even if you don't have any.
Yes. Even if you don't have any, they will make you want to crave hockey knowledge because that's how they do it. But anyway, those are the shows on our network. We got the Super Bowl next week. Everybody, have a good week. We'll be back ready for the big game. And we will see you next time. And Walrus, what? Why are the Patriots so good?
They have Iowa players. Go Iowa!